live in this church and you live in our hearts. We just celebrate your victory because your victory means our victory.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and that you give us hope. And every single one of us needs that hope today. And we pray that you will just take us in today. Just take us in. Take us into the Holy of Holies. Take us to the place where we could never go before until you died for us, until you opened up the curtain. Take us into the Holy of Holies so that we can have that personal walk and relationship with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, this is actually good news, right? So, you know how I feel about these kind of claps, so. He's alive, right? Woo-hoo! Yes! My Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me, right? Along the narrow way. He's living in me. Praise God. I think that's one of my grandkids. And he's alive too, so. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're here today, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the reminder when the snow's on the ground that our sins are washed whiter than snow. Praise your name. You are a good and a faithful God. Lord, every one of us is here today because we chose to come here. We decided to be here to worship with your people. And we know that we're not going to be leaving here empty-handed. We never come into your presence. We never come to the altar without you giving us exactly what we need. And for us, some of us today, that means we need hope. Maybe we need peace. Maybe we need to reconcile with somebody because that's just eating us up. But you give us the victory. You give us that power, God. Power over all those things that keep us weak and keep us unable to do the things you want us to do. So we invite you, Jesus, to reign today. Be alive in this service. Be alive in your people. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. And Lord, there's some people here today. They're not even sure about this. They don't know exactly why they came, but they're here. And I just pray, Lord, that you're going to reveal yourself. We trust completely in what you say in your word, that if we seek, we'll find, and if we knock, you're going to open the door, and if we ask, it will be given to us. Lord, I just believe your word. I believe that you want to reveal yourself, and so we invite you to do that, Jesus. Thank you. We love you. Amen. I'm going to read the story of Jesus rising from the dead. I'll be reading from Matthew, and I think it'll be on the overhead. And then I want you to think about something with me just a few minutes in our sharing time today. I want you to think about, the question is, where do you see Jesus alive now? Because I think that's actually the most relevant question. And maybe it's a hard question. Maybe you shake your head, you go, I don't know. I don't know where Jesus is. I don't know where he's alive. I think it's a really hard question, but I'm going to ask you to think about it. Where have you seen Jesus resurrected? And the reason why I'm asking that is, you know, in John's gospel, when John tells the story of Jesus' birth, Jesus' resurrection, I should say, the lady, Mary, she comes to the tomb. It's really interesting. She comes to the tomb, and she looks in the tomb, and she sees that Jesus isn't there. And she does not say, oh, he's alive, he's alive. That's not what she says. She says, oh, no, someone has stolen my Jesus. That's what she says. And I think what we learn from that is that if all we look at is the empty tomb, that's really not enough. And I think that the church has been doing that for centuries, really. We just keep looking at the empty tomb. We sit there and go, oh, the tomb is empty. He's not there. But the real question is, well, where is he? Is he really alive? I think that the fact that the tomb is empty is a really good thing, and I like to look at it. I'm glad the stone is rolled away. But the real evidence, and just hear me today, the real evidence that Jesus is alive is that he's living in me and he's living in you, and that we are actually seeing examples of the power of his resurrection in our lives. We're seeing lives changed. We're seeing answers to prayer. We're seeing people, you know, who are doing the things that God wants to be done. They're being obedient. So that's the question today is, it's great to look at the empty tomb. We want to do that, but I want to not just stare myself blind looking at the empty tomb. I want to know where Jesus is today. How have you seen the resurrection power of Jesus? How have you seen that? I'm going to give you a couple of examples in a minute. I know now you're starting to think about some. And I want you to think about it. You know, where has Jesus been? How do you know he's alive? There's victory in this man. He lives. We should see this. This is what happened according to Matthew. That after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook, and they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." He's got that word for you today, too. Don't be afraid. Some of you are afraid of something big time. Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. He's not in the tomb. Just like he said, come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. This is going to happen here today. I'm just believing it. Suddenly Jesus is going to meet us. We're going to encounter the risen Christ today through our testimony, through just relaying what Jesus is doing in our lives and just reminding each other how he's been alive. Suddenly Jesus met them and he said, "Greetings." You know what? That's good enough for me. If that's all he wants to say today is, "Hey, hi, greetings," I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Show me, Jesus, that you're risen, and all you got to do is say greetings, and I'm good with that today. He said, "Greetings." And they came to him, and they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Now go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me." They will see me. Two things are going to happen here. I'm going to play a video. We're going to start with a video. We're going to end with a video. And they're just kind of like bookends. They kind of help us to think about this. So we're ready with the first video. It's only a couple minutes. As this is played, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus really is alive. He's really alive. He's not dead anymore. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And after this video, I'm going to open things up, and we're going to share some of our experiences, some testimonies of the risen Jesus. Amen? Because you know what? I don't want to go to a church. I do not want to go to a church where we can't talk about the real risen Savior who's really alive today and who still says, "Look, it's me. Come and see." I just don't want to be there. So let's listen to this first video and ponder your hearts. Just think a little bit about how Jesus has been revealing himself. is risen. He's alive. I think one of the reasons why we don't see him alive is because we're not looking for it. We're looking into the empty tomb. We need to see where he is. He's all over the place. I want to give you three quick examples, and maybe just get someone with a microphone or a couple people to help me here to walk around. Maybe Alvin or someone else will. I'm going to give you three things I've been thinking about. One of the ways that God's shown me that he is resurrected in the last few days or last week, I think it's just is the cool thing, is last Sunday, I mean, I did not expect people to start standing up and walking through the curtain. By the way, someone took my curtain away. But to me, and sometimes these things are just for me or just for you, but for me, you know, I was just preaching along, and all of a sudden, a couple people stood up, and they walked right by me, and they went through the curtain, and for them, that was a sign that they wanted to give their heart to Jesus, and they just wanted Jesus to be in control, and it showed me, you know what, there's life. He's still alive. He still moves people. That was amazing for me. That was awesome, and at least one of those people who did that, and there used to be a curtain here, they walked through it, you know, she told me later that she gave her heart to Jesus, that she wants to follow him, and that she's repented of her sins. I mean, that's the stuff that shows me, yeah, thank you, Jesus, right? Another thing that's been a highlight this week that really shows me how alive Jesus is was our service on Good Friday. We could come together with four other churches, and it wasn't about competition. It was just about celebrating the fact that Jesus died for us and remembering that he gave his life. That was a precious time, and I saw the risen Jesus. Even on Good Friday, I saw him there in our unity and in the willingness to just work together. And the third example that I have in my life, where I see the resurrected Christ very frequently. And she's not here right now, so I can talk about her a little bit. But my wife shows me Christ. Amen. She shows me that he really is alive because she lives, and he lives in her. And because she's not here, she won't be embarrassed. You know, none of you are going to say any of this, I don't think, right? Like, I am, and I know, you know, some people say that to me, man, you are such a lucky guy. And I go, yeah, I know. You don't need to tell me. I know that. And she is so precious. But, you know, not just because she's a good person, but because Jesus is really in her. And those of you who know her, you know how that's true. It's just so true. Like, Jesus just rises up. The only way, you know, that she could love me the way she loves me is because the risen Lord is in her, right? So I know that Jesus is alive. I get to see it every day. Okay, those are mine. Now, that took guts, so now it's your turn. Who's going to stand up and share? Where have you seen, how do you know, and where have you seen this risen Christ? Good. Alvin on a mic. Who else? Is there another mic or just one? Oh, there you are, that guy. I didn't recognize you because you're so dark. Okay, let's share together. Come on. Here we go. There's our first contributor.
I'm happy to say I really did see my God after 4 or 5 months of intense prayer for direction in my life. And after 10 to 12, about 10 days, praying specifically about the need for a house leader here at Lazarus House. I had fallen back asleep, and I woke up. I had just seen God, and I was a huffing and a puffing. I was interviewed by 3 men with a glowing light behind them. I could not make out the faces because of the light, and they had one question, can you do it? And that's just, I knew what it was all about. And when I woke up, I just saw God.
Amen.
And here I am tramping down the hallway. People are asking me, are you high? I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning, not even 6, 5:30. And I said, yeah, I'm high. I'm high in the Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
I just saw God.
That's right.
And, you know, when I was interviewed, when I came here to see, and no minute, not too late. I mean, a few days later, I was coming by here in Red Deer after being released, and I met with Alvin and Ray, and there were only 2 people there, but I saw 3 in my dream, which made me huff and puff more.
Yep.
So I've seen God.
Amen. Just, you're such a blessing too, Ray, so
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for sharing.
Amen. That. Amen.
He's alive.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I can see Jesus Christ in my granddaughter Marley, who at 11 months old had surgery on her arm to reattach ligaments here, was only on Tylenol for one day and is healing really fast, and God is healing her, and she smiles, and I can see God in her.
Amen. Thank you. The God Amen. Who heals. Rob.
Good morning.
Morning.
I love this place. And yeah, it's beautiful how my life has been very, very tumultuous. We'll put it that way. I've seen my Savior and my salvation. This is before my car accident. And in my darkest days, he takes a hold and he picks me up. Yeah. And he doesn't let go. And that's very real. And people go, oh, you saw God. And it's not like that. It's like, I saw Jesus, and he held on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept me away from the razor blades. Because I was that close. I've seen Jesus Christ in my hopelessness. And it is awful. But he provides inspiration and hope.
Yes.
And in my restlessness, in my anxiety, he provides peace.
Thank you, God.
Thank Amen. You, Lord.
Amen.
I don't know if most people know this, but before Chad and I got married, we decided that we would start premarriage counseling. And because it was such a good thing to help both of us restore each of us from our own past to come together and heal together, we decided to be proactive in our marriage and continue on every 2 weeks. And we are so blessed to get to see the healing work that God does within each of us, because we have similar pasts, yet very different things come up. And God just blesses us with healing along the way to bring us closer to each other and just bonds our relationship through it. And now we're getting to see it in other couples as well. And being witness to that and seeing that healing that occurs from such brokenness is just, it can't be anyone else's hand but his.
Exactly. Praise God.
And like the songs said beautifully, we know that Jesus is alive because he lives in our heart.
Good.
It's amazing how God will just use your everyday life just to show you how important you are and how he is living in you. God is healing my family. That has been a huge thing that's been happening in our lives. And he uses my husband. He uses my church family to show that he is risen and that he works in each of our lives. And he doesn't leave us where we're at. He always moves us forward.
That's right.
So that's how we know that he's in us, is because we're not standing still. We're always moving forward.
That's good.
One thing that God has put on my heart, Jason and I are part of CMA, which is Christian Motorcycle Association. And the one thing he's put on our heart is, are we taking it to the streets? What we have inside us, are we taking it to the streets? Are we talking to everybody? Are we going to the highways and the byways and showing Christ in us to those who need it the most?
Amen.
Amen.
Jody.
I see Christ in my son that's been clean now for 8 months.
Yeah, only Jesus could do that. Thank
in
you, Jesus.
My daughter, Alicia, who, when we're driving around, and she just, it's radio's barely on, but she hears her favorite Christian songs, and she just cranks it up.
Yeah.
And just in general in my family, how despite all the little things, it's the big things that matters.
Good words. Tim.
I got a phone call about a week, 10 days ago, that from my sister that my father was failing. And so I went out to see him. He's 89 years old. And he's starting to slip away. And when I went into his room the first time, my sister had just landed from Vancouver Island, and she was with my other sister, and they're both in the room with my dad. And both my sisters aren't Christians, and so when I walked into the room, well, before I walked in, the Lord had kind of told me, you need to bring life mm-hmm. into that room. And when I walked in, I could just feel such a heaviness, because my sisters were kind of, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that we as Christians, we grieve differently than how the world grieves. Yes. Anyways, I was able to come in and lift and change the atmosphere in the room. And then my sisters ended up having a, you know, a fairly good visit with my dad. He can't really talk, but he was able to acknowledge him a little bit in that. And my history with my dad is I grew up kind of afraid of my father, and I grew up with a lot of difficulty in my relationship with him. And I became a Christian, it was a few years after I became a Christian, I didn't even realize how much anger I actually had in my heart towards him. And things, but through the years, God is you know, this is how I know Jesus is alive, because Jesus took that pain away.
Yes.
And he gave me the ability to forgive my father where I could never have done
that's
that good. On my own.
That's good.
I could have only have done it with Jesus' help.
Yes.
And when I went in to see my dad the last day before I left, I just sat with him for about 2 hours, and he would just kind of lay there, and every once in a while, if I was looking at a photo album or make a bit of noise, he'd kind of open up his eyes and he'd look at me. And he didn't really, this time he never really, I could tell that he really didn't quite know who I was. So I prayed, I asked the Lord, you know, those 3 or 4 days that I was out there, I prayed and I said, Lord, help me make a spirit-to-spirit connection with him.
Yes.
And I prayed that prayer. And then just before I was to leave, on that last day, I said goodbye to him. I told him I loved him, and I gave him a kiss on the forehead. And then my dad looked at me, and he acknowledged me, and he gave me that little wink. And I knew that he knew who I was.
Yes.
And I knew that God just quickened his spirit for that time for me to be able to say goodbye. And I just, you know, I'm just so thankful to Jesus today, because to feel love for my father, which I have for the last few years when I never had it before.
Yeah,
Only Jesus can do that.
That's right.
And
only Jesus.
I'm so thankful for
only
that.
Jesus. Praise God.
The Lord is so good. Amen.
Yeah.
Deep calls to deep. Oh, I feel him every day. I get that feeling. There's that feeling. Remember when you're a kid? At Christmas time, woohoo! The feeling. Sometimes you don't know how to describe his presence. It's like there's an excitement and anticipation. And I see him in people. I see him in nature.
Yes.
I hear him in people's voices. You know when somebody's prophesying to you, because you go, what? You do a double take. And you listen, because it's God speaking through that person to you. And you don't realize how many times prophecy should be just a natural thing for us as believers. God wants to use our vocal cords to speak to each other, encourage each other, comfort each other, and exhort each other. It's not just for the, you know, the chosen few. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
And I hear prophetic words coming out of, well, everybody that I've ever talked to in this building, there's times that you've said things to me where I went, oh, I might not have said anything, but it registered here.
Yeah, that's God.
And that's him. And the more you look for him, the more you're going to hear him. It's just a given. It's just that easy.
Yes.
Open yourself up to him and say, Lord, what do you say? Ask him a question and wait for the answer. You'll get the answer. That's just how... That's how he operates. He's not withholding anything from you. He's not hiding from you. And he's not making you beg. We are on this side of the cross. No more begging. No more pleading. We used to beg and plead on the other side, but now it's receiving
freely
and thanking,
yes,
and praising and worshiping, and just he wants to pour on you, but sometimes we just are so dull sometimes. That's why the Lord says, give them ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the churches, mm-hmm. because he's speaking to you all the time.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you guys.
Amen. All right. Ryan, and then we're going to do one more. So we have one more person. Okay, so Vicky.
I know God's real because I had family friends growing up, and they lost their son 7 years ago to cancer. He was a promising hockey player. You might have heard the stories or seen it on Facebook recently, but he ended up making Team Canada's sledge hockey team after he lost his leg. He never got to play in the gold game or the Olympics. He ended up passing before that. But ever since he passed, his life had an impact on everyone. And his family started a foundation. And ever since then, they've gone every dollar towards it. And they ended up losing their house. And 2 days ago, they won Stars Lottery.
God does work in mysterious ways. It says it, so I'm not going to argue it. So.
So now they're proud owners of $1 million house.
Okay. God's real. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
And Victoria.
Hi. You know, I know God is real, and he's healing my family from residential hurts of the past. Especially from my sister, who's living in Saskatchewan. She wasn't a believer, but struggled a lot from... It's just a generational curse that's just come in the family and just destroyed us. And it caused depression and addictions like crazy. So my sister was a believer, but then fell away because of it. But then just recently, last year, she came to Christ.
Mm.
And she's 38 now, but I have niece
wow.
and nephews with her.
Thank
and
you.
She's in... She came to Christ, and she's like, I pray every day now. And I'm like, I'm noticing I'm being healed every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
And it says, by his stripes we are healed. And the gruesome part, I'm going to say, for his stripes, you know, they whip 39 times with little medals on the end of the whips. So deep that if they go 40, they would kill him. So they just take him to barely to the edge of death.
Yeah.
So then it's gruesome, but if you know the whips... expose the flesh and like expose the organs. So he bore your pain, he bore your misery, he understands your pain because he took it all
Thank you, Jesus.
On the cross. We need to really understand the blood healing.
Yeah.
The blood's on my sister. I poured the blood on my sister Rebecca at home, and she struggles with also the generational curse of depression and few other things. But she's coming around every day. I notice that she's coming around and she's showing love. Her heart's being healed by the blood.
Yeah.
The power of the blood of God is healing her, and the Holy Spirit healing her every day.
Amen.
She's starting to come alive every day. It's slow but surely. It's a process, but I just thank God every day for his blood. He's healing my family.
That's good news.
Healed each and one of us.
He's good.
He's healing me every day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. No longer any pain.
You get the last short word.
So the things that I'm seeing more recently in the last couple of years. Oh, sorry. How is that? Is that better? So what I've seen, like Christ, how he's operating in my life, I see people, and in Matthew 25, Jesus says, as much as you've done to the least of one of these, he said, you've done it to me.
Amen.
And so sometimes, whether I'm in Calgary and different people, I was just down at a gallery in Calgary, and behind there's a lot of street people come up to drop off their bottles and that. And when I thought of that Matthew 25 there, where Jesus said, as much as you've done it to me, you've done it to one of these.
Yes.
And I remember talking to this old guy in the back alley, and I thought, you know, I can just,
I see them different now.
Yes.
You know, what we can do for these kind of people, you know, like we can express Christ's love, you know, and this is something that's happened to me in the last couple of years. Christ has become so real, and the thing is, if you can see people in need that need something, that Christ is right there, and he says, here I am, right in front of you. You know, so he wants us to do something for these people. And,
well, because Christ is in them. He's in me, right? We see him.
Amen, brother.
Yeah,
and
amen.
That's what came to me.
That's worth listening to. I'm glad you shared that, Rick.
God bless you, brother. Thank you, folks.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
I just wanted to share one thing. The reason I'm here today is because of Jesus. It's because of him. Only him. It's because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. God has restored my marriage. I used to swear. I couldn't speak English. God delivered me from that. Profanity. God delivered me from my sin, from fornication, adultery, and all this stuff. He delivered me. Set me free from that. Hallelujah. Deliver me from anger. A lot of you people are dealing with a lot of anger. God wants to deliver you guys from anger. Okay. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. God did it for me. He can do it for you. Unforgiveness. God wants to deal with unforgiveness. Amen. In our hearts. God wants to deal with these things. Cursing. All this baggage that we carry all the days of our life. But God, Jesus Christ, wants to deliver every one of us from that stuff. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Restored my marriage. Hallelujah. All our praise to Jesus.
All right.
Sorry, Sam.
Go ahead. If you find it, just wave your hands kind of wildly, okay? I want to acknowledge that Sharon is here today, and we had a service yesterday for a really dear friend for Sharon. And his name was Rocky Martin. You see some of the stuff that's still here from the decorations, and really hope today that you feel the love of Jesus and that you feel welcome here. I appreciated your words yesterday. I know that you try to make a big impact in his life, and I know that you're grieving, but you don't grieve without hope. And I just pray God's comfort on you. And later on, we get to benefit from some of the sandwiches and other things that were left over. So, yeah, just feel family. That's who we are. You're in the family of God. Amen. We're going to carry on this morning with the last part of the series of the curtain that was torn in two. Some of you have been here for the last 5 or 6 weeks. I've been preaching this series on how, when Jesus died, at the moment that he died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And up till this point, I think the last 4 or 5 Sundays, I had this sort of makeshift curtain. And I'm not going to put you through that again. You have to use your imaginations today. So there's this big curtain here. If you use your imaginations, you can even make it the size it's supposed to be, 30 feet by 60 feet, 30 feet high, 60 feet wide. When Jesus died, the Bible says the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. And it was 3.5, 4 inches thick, this curtain. And it was torn from the top to the bottom because that was an invitation from God to you. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and God was making an invitation saying, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me? I am now accessible. I am now available. Now the way to me has been made open. You got it? Okay, well, on that happy note, we'll just pause for a commercial break. Just give me 1 second. I'm just going to finish this thought, and then before I read, we'll do this. Okay, where was I? The curtain is open. We can go to Jesus, right? That prior to this happening, the curtain in the temple was divided. It kept the priests from the Holy of Holies. There was this part in the very back of the temple that was called the Holy of Holies. And earlier on in Israel's history, it's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And this was where God dwelt. This is where the glory of the Lord was. But nobody was allowed to go back behind the curtain, except once a year, the high priest would carefully and fearfully slink back there and sprinkle some water and offer some prayers, right? Because there was a great fear of God. God was distant. God was to be afraid. You should be afraid of him. But when Jesus died, that all changed. And that's what we're talking about, okay? It's about the difference between an old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, we're afraid of God. We're distant from God. We can never get close to God. You can never get through that curtain. But the new covenant of Jesus' blood is a covenant that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, come to me. I'm available. There's a way through the blood of Jesus that we can come to the Father. He is now near to us. This is something, some of you have seen this video before. I know we played it a few years back, but it just moves me every time I see it. This is a real preacher, all right? This is a real preacher. And I got to get it to you on video, so why don't you play this? Is Jesus alive?
He is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter.
All right, you say amen? Yes. Now you know why we had to see that. The music got louder and louder. I don't know why, but he's my king. And I love the question. I wonder, do you know him? in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read, and today I'm going to back up a little bit beyond earlier to what we've read before, just about how Jesus is the one sacrifice. He is the one sacrifice. We don't need any other sacrifices. He is the one Lamb of God. He's given his life. He's poured out his blood. There is no need for him to do this any more than one time, and none of us need to offer a sacrifice ever again because Jesus' sacrifice is all sufficient. I'm going to begin reading in Hebrews 10, verse 9, where Jesus says, "Here I am." Hebrews 10, verse 9. "Here I am. I've come to do your will." He's talking to his Father. "And he sets aside the first to establish the second." He's talking about the covenants. "He sets aside the first covenant to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's you and me. The Holy Spirit also testifies about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Praise you, God. "For where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." And here's the part we've read for 5 or 6 times now. In this context, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. You believe that? Yeah? You believe he's a faithful God? You believe that Jesus is alive, and because he's alive, we can live? We gave lots of examples here this morning proving the resurrection of Jesus is not just a historical event, it is a personal event. I take this personally because Jesus lives in me. He's changed me. He keeps changing me. I'm not perfect, but he keeps working on me because he wants me to walk in victory and he wants me to walk in freedom. He wants the same for all of us, right? He's such a good God. He cares about you. Jesus died so that that curtain could be torn in two, so that we could actually approach the Father and have a living relationship with him, so that I could say, "Now I am a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable to you." No, I am the sacrifice. I give myself, Jesus, I give myself to you. I am holy and I'm pleasing and I'm acceptable. In the Old Testament, the high priest went once a year and he made that offering. He sprinkled the water and he prayed for the people. He brought the offering. He brought the sacrifice to God. But now, in the new covenant, here's what I want you to understand. In the new covenant, the high priest himself is the sacrifice. Right? Jesus is the high priest. It's what we read here, right? He is the high priest. He doesn't just bring the sacrifice to the Father. The high priest becomes the offering. He becomes the sacrifice, right? Is what it says here. You look in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 26. "Then Jesus would have suffered many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to take judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who wait for him. Do you understand this? That Jesus is the one sacrifice. The high priest offered himself. This is Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. And the wonder of this all, the part that I really hold on to the dearest, is that because this is true, and I believe this with all my heart. I don't know if it shows or not. I hope it does. I believe this with all my heart, that what it says in here is true, that Jesus is the Lord and the King, that he gave his life for me, that he took my place on the cross. Now, here's the real point of it today is, if that's really true, you know what we have is, we have great hope, man. We have great hope. There is nothing that can defeat me because Christ lives in me. He's really alive in me. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have struggles or there aren't going to be hard things or there might be sickness or there might be bad relationships or who knows what. There's going to be hard things that happen, but I have great hope, and so do you. We have such amazing hope because we have such an amazing King who gave his life for us. You got hope. I don't know how you came in here this morning. I don't know how you feel about your day or your week or your life. Maybe you're feeling hopeless or you're wondering whether things are ever going to get better or if your prayers are ever going to get answered or you're ever going to receive the healing that you think you need. I want to tell you today, there is amazing hope as long as you keep trusting in Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about hope. And I just want to point it out. You can't keep reading and reading and reading. So you just got to listen real carefully. These two verses. We just finished reading this one. It's the last ones we read. Here it goes. Therefore, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Do you get that? Let's hold on. If this is true, let's hold on to this thing. Let's hold unswervingly. Do you know what that word means? This is unswervingly. This is swervingly. Some of you know swervingly better than you know unswervingly. This is unswervingly. Let's hold to this hope unswervingly because Jesus died for you. He took your place on the cross, and there's hope because he did that, because he's alive. My Jesus is alive. Amen? And then in Hebrews chapter 6, this is so good. I wish I could go on and on here, but I won't. But, you know, this is the hope. Hebrews chapter 6, the last part of the chapter, starting in verse 18. Listen to this. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the, get this now, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. Amen? And he has become forever a priest in the order of Melchizedek. I can't get into all that, but Melchizedek was both a priest, he was the priest, the high priest, and he was the king. And that's who Jesus is. He is a priest and he is a king in that order. But what he's saying here is, you know what, we have great hope. There's hope when you turn your life over to Jesus, when you turn away from the way that you were living and you say, I am only going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm not going to follow after the way that the enemy is trying to make me stumble. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, he says, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus went before us. I'm here to declare to you today, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I don't know where you find hope or where you find comfort or where you find direction in your life, but I got to tell you that the only place I find it is in Jesus Christ. And if you think you're going to find hope in the government, or you think you're going to find hope in religion, because we're not talking about religion here, we're talking about Jesus and a relationship with him, you're really misguided. If you think your hope is in man, maybe that's what you're saying today. You're saying, well, my hope is in man. Man always seems to pull this all together and we're going to save each other. We're going to find a solution. Or maybe science is going to come up with the answer to all our problems. Man, you have amazing faith that I couldn't even relate to. I don't have that kind of faith. I just simply believe in God. I don't think that my hope can be in man. Man's just proven to me over and over again what a huge disappointment That's what humanism says, man is the measure of all things, but it's proven over and over again, all we're good at doing is killing each other and destroying each other and wrecking God's world. So if you think that man's going to solve this problem, you've got huge faith. I don't have that kind of faith. I only have faith in Jesus, who's the king. Or education, and believe me, I could go on all afternoon about this. There's so many things that people turn to. You think education is going to solve our problems? Our government thinks that education is going to solve our problems. All we need to do is pass out some flyers and some pamphlets, and everyone will read all the information. They'll go, oh, now I get it. You know, that has not worked. We've educated people for hundreds of years. Our hope, I'm not saying education, you know that. I'm not saying education is not important, but my hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus Christ. He's the only one I have. And at the end of the day, he brings me through the curtain. And he delivers me from myself and from my sin. And he says, I will be your hope. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever the hard thing is in your life, whatever you're broken about, I'm going to show you how that's going to be healed and how I'm going to take care of that in your life. Because I love you. He says, he entered behind the curtain. He entered behind the curtain on our behalf. You know what that means? It means that when Jesus died, you know, and he hung on the cross, the moment he died, we're told that as he died and as he gave up his spirit, the temple curtain was torn in two. And when that moment happened, it's like he personalized this for me. He says, okay, Stan, now I'm going to go through this curtain of death on your behalf. I have borne all your sins. I've taken all your guilt, all your shame, all your disgrace. I've taken it all, and I have nailed it to the cross. And now I am going to go through the curtain on your behalf. And then I'm going to call you to come. Come to me. Come and join me in this amazing enterprise of building the kingdom of God. Come. I've prepared the way for you. I've gone ahead of you. I've gone on your behalf. I died for you. I took the weight of your sin and I put it on myself. You no longer bear that sin anymore. It is not yours. It is not yours. I died so that you would not be guilty of this. And then he says one other thing, and this is really the heart of what I want to say this morning, and that he says where Jesus went, I think we missed this one line, he went before us, and he entered on our behalf, he says. Jesus went through the curtain. He went before us. In other words, he went first. But I love that other line. Let me say it again. Where Jesus went before us, and he entered on our behalf. The very fact that it says in God's word that Jesus went before us as a high priest, right, is implied, at least, that we're to go after him. He went before me, but I don't stay standing here. I need to follow him. And he's still saying, Jesus is still saying the same thing he said when he was on earth, when he said, follow me. Follow me. Come. We have to follow him. He went before us, right? The implication is he prepared a way. He made a way through the curtain so that we could follow him obediently. And let me tell you what that really means. What that really means is that you and I, and you gotta wait for it. this is really important. And maybe even it's gonna sound like it's not true at first. This is so true. It's so what the Word of God says. Are you waiting? You and I are priests. You're a priest. And I mean that in the best possible way. You are authentic, genuine priests. Priests of the Most High God. You are priests. You follow him. This was a cry of the Reformation, by the way. You know, the Reformation through Martin Luther is that we are priests. We need to get the Word of God back in the hands of the people and not just in the hands of the clergy. That you are priests and you are prophets and you are kings. That was a cry of the Reformation. Well, I'm just crying out what we've been crying out for 400 or 500 years. You are priests. I'm going to show you what I made this week.
I know by now you're already pretty impressed with my curtain and my artwork, and so I know this won't surprise you, but I think every one of us should be making one of these. And by the way, if you can't make one, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are going, oh man, I could never make one of those. That's all right, because I'm going to be selling them for $49.95. And you need one. I'm like, we got to all get one of these, okay? The good news is that if you pay $49.95, the second one, I'm going to throw a second one in. So you'll get a second one. At this time, if you tell me today at least, you'll get the second one. You'll get two, okay, for $49.95. We need to. You'd look so good, Teresa. You need one. You are, yes, that you could rock this, right? We're priests. You get it? I want you to remember this today. You are a priest. You are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. You are following the high priest of all high priests, Jesus Christ. And he says, you are now a priest. You get out there into the world. It's time for you to get out there and bring healing. I want to say four quick things about the priesthood. You're a priest, it means you're holy. That's number one. You are holy. You are holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm just going to do this quickly. He says this, 10 verse 10, by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are holy. And then in verse 14, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Hold on to this today. You are holy. You are holy. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. You say, well, I don't feel like it. You should have seen what I did yesterday. Doesn't matter. You repent of that. You belong to Jesus. Even the sins that you're going to do tomorrow or the next day, they're covered in the blood of Jesus. He sees you as his agios, his holy ones, his saints. You are a saint. That means a holy one. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You are holy. You are holy. It says in Peter, and this is going to move into the second thing I want to say about being a priesthood. It says in Peter, verse 5, you are like, listen to this now, living stones. You're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You are to be a holy priesthood. And then a little later on, verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood. I don't know how to make it any clearer than that. You're part of the priesthood. And part of the priesthood, one of the things that we do as priests, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I spent quite a bit last week talking about this, but as priests, we infer peace. Remember we did this? And I went through and I said, you know, one of the powerful things that we have at our fingertips, one of the things that we're able to do is just infer peace on people. May the peace of Jesus Christ be on you, sister. May you receive his peace. We look at people, we let them know how loved they are. That we have this ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciling the world to Jesus Christ, and we are reconciled with each other. So we don't fight anymore, Pam. You and I can't fight. It's just too important, right? We love each other. We live for the same reason, for the same Christ who lives in us. So what does a priest do? A priest dispenses peace. Are you doing that? That's all he says. Bless you. You know what priests do? Bless you, my child. You know, may the peace of Christ, may the peace of Christ be with you, my brother. Right? I don't think we have any understanding of the power that we have available to us if we just took on this role of priests. It looks good, right? For only $49.95, he said. Exactly. We have power. And to be a real, I'm talking about being a real priesthood. A priesthood that touches people and brings peace and healing. And maybe even forgiveness. That's what priests do. Priests say, you are forgiven, my son. We do that based on the word of God. We can say to each other, you're forgiven. If you've confessed your sins, he is righteous and just. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're forgiven. Why don't we say that to each other? Amanda, you're forgiven. You are so forgiven. It's remember no more. This is what it means to be a priest. I'm not making this up. This is actually in the Bible. It's true, right? We can bring peace to each other. It's a powerful thing. And for too long, we have left this to a small elite group of people and say, well, they're going to be the priests. Well, Jesus has said all along, no. You're all going to be my priests. Every one of you. I empower you. I give you my Holy Spirit. And you have the ability to really touch lives. You have the ability to tell people that God loves them. Is there anything better that a priest could say? Dana, God loves you. He just loves you. You are precious to him. He thinks that your heart is pure because he's made it pure. May the peace of Christ rest on you and your marriage and your family. Look at what he's done with Jordan. May the peace of Christ rest on you. I could go on, but like I said, I spent a long time talking about this last week, and I hope some of you have been practicing it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But I mean, I really firmly believe we have the ability to walk through crowds and infer peace. Dispense. We are peace dispensers. You can dispense peace on some of these people out there who are in turmoil. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's a prayer. Maybe sometimes they don't even know you're doing it. You don't always need to broadcast it. You just go, oh, man, that person's in such trouble. God, pour your peace upon her or him. Thirdly, it says in Peter that because we are a holy priesthood, we can offer up, and here's a kind of an interesting phrase, spiritual sacrifices. It says it there. Because you're a priest, you can I don't know exactly what that means. I think we got to understand that. What does it mean? That I can actually offer up spiritual sacrifices for people. Like the priest used to do. It's now we're in a new covenant. The priest in the old covenant would take a lamb or a calf, and he would actually offer that for the people. But think about this, that because you are the priesthood of believers, you can actually offer a sacrifice up for someone else. Not a bull calf, but maybe a prayer. Maybe interceding for someone else is offering up a living sacrifice or a sacrifice for someone else as priests. I think we need to explore this and learn more about what this means. You know what? Because what it really means is that as priests, we stand in the gap for people who can't stand in the gap themselves. We stand in between them and God, and we plead for them. Like, God, save this person. Change their heart. Provide what they need, God. Show them. Lord, will you not show them? Show them who you are. You've shown me who you are. I know that you're real. I know that you're alive. God, I just offer a spiritual sacrifice. I don't think I've ever prayed this way before, but I'm going to start. Because it says in Peter that I'm supposed to be doing this. Lord, show me what a spiritual sacrifice is. Maybe a spiritual sacrifice is my time. I'm going to actually not just throw money at the guy who's laying on the curb. I'm going to sit next to him. Maybe bring him out for lunch. What is a spiritual sacrifice? All I know is that it is a way for us who are in the priesthood of all believers to stand in a gap for someone who can't stand there themselves, to plead for them, to pray for them, to intercede for them, right? To bring them to Jesus, to say, really, just say the same thing that Jesus says to me. Sometimes all he ever says to me is, come. I want to know more. Just come. You want to know more? Okay, come, follow me. Right? That's it. The fourth thing is that because, and this is the last, we're going to end on this note here, but because you are a priest, and you'll feel way more like a priest when you get one of these, by the way. These things help. And when you walk down the street, people look at this and they don't go, you're weird or that's terrible, you know, artwork or any of that. They're going to go, wow, I respect that guy because he's got he's got it going, right? Well, let me tell you something. When you are a priest of God, a priest of the Most High God, we operate in the power of the resurrection. And that is different from the priesthood for many, many centuries. We understand the cross. We understand the empty tomb. We understand the power of Jesus and his resurrection. And we start operating in a whole different power, a whole different way, because we offer the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just really briefly, what I believe that means is that we believe and we move in this, in these declarations, is that we are not willing to let people stay in their weakness and in their brokenness, in their sin. We're not willing to say, well, it doesn't matter, we're just going to love you. No, I'm going to love you so much that I want to operate in the power of the resurrection so that you can actually be delivered and set free. And that's a whole different thing. I think sometimes we tend to live our lives and we just kind of accept everything. Well, that's your problem, and that's your problem. I got this problem. You have this weakness. You have this sickness. I believe that Jesus wants so much more than that. And he says, here is the power of my resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. So you got power of resurrection, and it's time that we start telling people. There we go. that Jesus wants to deliver you. He wants to save you. It doesn't mean that this is magic or that everything always works or that you're going to be trouble-free. You're not. There's going to be struggles. It's going to be hard. This Christian life is going to be difficult. Jesus said, whoever will come after me will need to take up his cross and follow me. Well, we believe that because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as priests, we can let people know that Jesus wants to deliver them, he wants to save them, and he wants to set them free. Amen? He wants to set you free. He wants to set all of us free. He wants us to know that our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's who my Jesus is. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? It says that we need to hold unswervingly to this hope. It means that we need to, you know, Hebrews also says a little later on, fix your eyes on Jesus. This is what I encourage you to do today. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you know what happens? Bear with me, okay? Just two more minutes, I'm done. So just hear this part. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you can walk straight. You keep your eye on him. You get into his word. If you're not into his word, get into his word. Start reading it. Start praying. Start ministering to each other. Start offering spiritual sacrifices for each other. When I used to drive a tractor for my father-in-law and we were plowing the fields, I would focus on a post somewhere way down the quarter section, and I would aim for the post. And I know that behind me, it was going to be straight. When I didn't look at the post, you know, you could see the windrows, right? So you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. You got to know today that he's our hope. I have no other hope but the hope of Jesus Christ. And the greatest privilege that he has ever given to me is he said, I'm going to make you a priest. We have a church here full of priests. You are one of them. Hold on. Hold on to the hope. It's an anchor, Hebrews says. This hope is an anchor for your soul. There's somebody, I'm going to end on this note. There's someone in your life right now. Somebody that you know who needs what you can give them. You've been equipped. You've been provided with the peace. You've been provided with the hope. There's someone who's drowning. That anchor's around their neck. It's not Christ. They're drowning. There's someone that you can minister to. You can infer the peace of Jesus to. There's someone that you can offer spiritual sacrifices for, whatever that means. You've been empowered because he is alive. You've been empowered to do just that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you are the great high priest and you've gone before us God, right now we just pray. There's people, there's family members, maybe children, guys we work with, just someone that's coming to mind that we're knowing that they're just so lost, Lord. We know what that felt like because we were lost like that. But you are alive, Jesus. We have declared that all through this service. You live in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise up here. Raise up here, God, a church of priests, prophets, priests, and kings, proclaiming the lordship of Jesus Christ. God, you've given us something very special to share with this world because you are alive, because you prepared the way. And we declare together today that we will hold unswervingly to the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to sing a couple of rousing songs, I'm told. So why don't we have the worship team come up? I know one of them is Alive, Alive. And you can clap your hands. Let's express the joy and the life, right? The resurrection life.
Invite you to stand up and break those shackles off your feet and celebrate our almighty Lord God Jesus Christ.
Woo-hoo.
He is worth celebrating.
Yes. Give me one sec.
Because we're going to rock it up here, so you guys got to rock it down there. Rock it for your Jesus. You know, when you go to a rock concert, no one ever hesitates to put their arms up and go, woohoo! Jesus is the greatest rock star that ever lived. Let's celebrate him today.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Alive, 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 alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive.
Woo!
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Lift him up.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Alive, alive,
alive, alive forevermore.
My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore.
My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, my Jesus is alive.
looks like a grandma, right?
Look at the hair. God loves you. Remember that. Remember that the reason why Jesus died is because of his amazing love for you. He thinks that you're precious. He thinks about you the way that I think about her.
That's good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord give you his shalom, his peace. He's alive. Amen.